We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime today, Nate Green. Nate, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, Jared. What about you?
I'm not doing too bad. The Angels are absolutely rolling, probably the hottest team in baseball right now. But before we get going with that conversation, Nate, I got a question for you. I think I know which direction we're going here. And I'm just going to go right for it. What is a balk?
Oh, man. I think Ohtani balked the first time. He flinched his front side. But I know I'll get a lot of hate for that, but that's fine.
I do too, so that's fair. I also think that, like, I didn't see the first one live. I was looking down. I think I was watching a minor league game. And I was looking down at my phone, and they were like, Ohtani balked. And I was like, oh, whatever. And then they said, Ohtani balked again. I looked up and I had to watch the whole thing. And I was like, huh? I didn't understand it. So if you could define, you know, what a balk is, that'd be great.
The first one looked like a balk. Like he flinched his front side before he turned. And then the second one, I don't know. That one, I didn't see it live either. I saw the first one live. And so I could tell that one for sure was a balk. The second one I did not see live, and it was very hard to tell based on the angles and, like, where the video started if he rolled through it or not. I mean, there's a couple different ways to balk. You don't come set is one, which I believe is what they were calling the second balk on, saying he didn't come set. The other one is making a move towards home and then going back to a base. I think that's what they were saying on the first one, which I believe was a balk. It looked like his front side just kind of flinched a little bit, and then he turned to throw to second. Let's see. There's a couple other ones, but those were the two that were really I think the umpires were really going towards on those two calls against Ohtani.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that the first one, and don't hate on me here on this one, because I do think the first one was more of a balk, per se. It looked weirder. And when something weird happens, the first thing you do is call a balk, right? Like, anytime you do something like and I'm not going on a story of mine, and I'm not proud of this one. It's a brain fart that I had, and I didn't get called a balk on it. But I picked off to home plate one time. I did, and I was coming back from not playing for a while. It was like my first time pitching on the mound, and I come set, and I have a runner on first, and I kind of look, and I was like, okay, I'm going to pick here. And then my next thought was like, never mind, I'm going to go home. But the pick was still in my head. So I stepped off, and I jumped towards, I think Justin Verlander, I think, did it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, no, it was Carlos Carrasco who did it. Carlos Carrasco did it one time where he stepped off, threw towards home plate, and might have gotten a strike out of it. I don't remember, but yeah, I had one of those brain farts before. I think we all do. Back onto the Ohtani balk, though. I think I agree with you. I thought the first one was weirder, should we say. And I thought it, you know, should have possibly been a balk. I thought the front side moved early, too. If you look at the legs, I thought the legs moved a little bit, too. And I'm in total agreement with you there. So, the first one, I agree. The second one was where I had a bit of an issue. But after review, I'm not saying it was a balk, but it was close. Because when you look at that side angle, it does look like he kind of rocks a little bit. But
yeah, that's what I was saying too. I thought I saw a rock, but it's very hard to tell.
Oh, there's no way you can tell in person if he balked or not. There's no way you can call that in that situation of a game, 3-1 game, I think in the fifth inning, fourth inning, something like that. And or maybe it's 3-0 at the time. Three, whatever it was. And, you know, to score a run too, you need to be 100% certain that was a balk, and I don't think it was there. I really don't. I want to say, you know, 100% it was, and there was some hate that was distributed to me on Twitter for that, and I, whatever, you know, so be it. But I just don't think that, I don't think that he balked on the second one, and that causes a run, and Shohei didn't think he balked, and Joe Maddon didn't think he balked on either one of them, and I, you know, I kind of agree with them as well. I know I just said that I thought the first one was a balk, but it's only because it was weird. You know, when something weird happens on the mound, like I said, you got to call a balk. So, Nate, I think, you know, we're pretty much in agreement. The first one maybe was a balk, a little bit more of a balk per se than the second one. And the second one, I just don't know. You can't call that in real time, in my opinion at all. So, yeah, I think that as a conclusion to this whole conversation that we just had, we don't know what balks are, correct?
It's deceiving the runner or the hitter. That's deceiving the runner is basically what it is. And I don't know. The first one, it really looked like it was a balk, but I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. It's behind us. I just wanted to bring that up because it was a fun weekend in Arizona. It really was for the Angels. They got the brooms out. They swept. They're going to Oakland hot. They're looking to pick up some games on Oakland, looking to pick up some games on Houston. But before we get on to anything further than that, give us 1 second to pay the bills.
Hey everyone, before we start, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is a perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, personalized Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and you name all the other ones. You got them. Okay? The best part is you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance in the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
All right, Nate. So all in all, this weekend, fantastic weekend for the Angels. Like I mentioned before, the Angels swept the Arizona Diamondbacks. Grant, the Diamondbacks have not been good. I think they're now 20 and 46 on the year. The Angels climbed to one game over 500 with the sweep. But let's just kind of go game by game recap and start with game one of the series on Friday. The Angels win 6-5 in 10 innings. A fun one. Kind of go back and forth a little bit there. We already talked about the Shohei Ohtani balk. Kurt Suzuki hit a home run, which came out of nowhere in that game. And Kurt Suzuki actually hit the Diamondbacks really, really well, and to a point where Joe Maddon didn't take him out of the game in a very important situation, I think, in the top of the 10th inning, which the Angels end up scoring a run anyways on a Max Stassi grounder. And we'll get to Stassi in a second anyways with all that. But, I mean, good quality game there, 6-5 overall. I thought that Ohtani deserved to win that game. I thought he pitched well. Nate, did you watch enough to kind of give us a little bit of a recap on Ohtani's start?
I watched a little bit of it. he threw the ball really well. I mean, he's thrown the ball well for the most part the entire season. It's a shame he didn't get a win, and I know you're not a huge win guy, wins, whatever. It's a cool stat, but it's not necessary. But it is unfortunate that he did not get the win in that game because he did deserve it.
Yeah, no, definitely did deserve it. A little bit of a road bump in the ninth inning with Raisel Iglesias came down to the last strike, gave up a game-tying home run to, I believe it was Josh Rojas, who snapped like a 2-for-44 streak in his, you know, last 20 games or 15 games or whatever it was. And it just kind of seems like random players get hot against the Angels, and Josh Rojas got hot during that game. I think he hit 2 home runs. So on to the second game, and the Angels end up again winning that because they swept 8-7. Another fun one. They gave up a 5 spot in the fifth, or in the third, I'm sorry. They came back, scored 2 in the fourth, 2 in the fifth to make it 5-4. Arizona scored 1 in the seventh, made it a 6-4 game. Angels scored 4 in the eighth and ninth innings combined, ended up winning 8-7. And Anthony Rendon, the hero of the game that day, 4 RBIs, hit a home run, his fourth of the season. And Nate, let's talk about Anthony Rendon for a second, man. If this guy gets hot, watch out, especially since Trout's not batting and or not playing right now. And man, how important is Rendon for this lineup?
Very important. It's huge. He is supposed to be the RBI machine. That's kind of what he was in Washington, the very quiet. No one really talked about him too much, but he looked up and he had 95 to 110 RBIs every year. And so that's the kind of thing that we need to see out of Rendon. So it would be nice to see him continue to stay hot.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's been red hot in the month of June. I don't have the stats on me off the top of my head, but yeah, just absolutely red hot in the month of June. So on to our final game, yesterday's game on Sunday, and the bats really did come alive. The Angels scored 6 runs in the first 2 innings, ended up winning 10-3. Max Stassi homered. We'll get to him in a second. Jared Walsh homered, and Patrick Sandoval pitched well again for Jose Quintana in that spot that I would assume he would be in. Man, and at what point do you think, like, hey, you know, Patrick Sandoval's kind of deserving a spot in the rotation?
3 months ago.
That's fair. It really is. Like, I know you're not a big Quintana fan, and...
Not at all.
I know you're not being a, you know, former Cub fan in a sense, and I air quote that because you went to school out there and you watch Madden, and, you know, we have the background stories behind that, but... But, yeah, I mean, I didn't think Sandoval, you know, I'm a big fan of Sandoval in the bullpen. I think that is, you know, one of my big vocal things with the Angels. I think that they need to put him in the pen. But, man, with the way he's starting right now in these past, I think he's started 3 games, there is no reason to bring back Jose Quintana. And especially with a certain prospect down in Double-A pitching well, too, a left-hander. I'm not going to name his name right now. I'm not even going to talk about him. It's tough to bring Quintana back. I know that they're going to, and they're going to give him all the chances in the world to start. But man, if you're trying to win the West, I think right now, you got to look at Patrick Sandoval. And the same goes with I don't think we talked about this. I don't even know if Jose Quintana's really hurt. I think it was just to get some more guys an opportunity. I'm sure he hurt his shoulder. I hate to think that there was a fake IL stint, but I mean it's not something that's not happened before. So last guy I want to talk about, Max Stassi. Is he getting to the All-Star game, Nate?
I don't know if he's played enough. I know catcher's a weird position where it could be a lot of different guys to be an All-Star, but I don't know. Max Stassi, he's been hurt a lot, but he has raked when he's been on the field. So that's going to be the one thing is, fans, are they going to notice him? I know his numbers are really, really good, but are fans outside of the Angels fans going to really notice him and write him down? Because if not, I don't know if the Rays organization, because it would be Kevin Cash who would be making some of those decisions, if Kevin Cash would give it to a guy like that who has missed so much time. And honestly, do we really want him as an All-Star? Like, yeah, it's really good for him, but more things for where he can get hurt, and he's coming off a hip surgery, which I've been very vocal about. It's very tough on a catcher. So it would be nice to see him as an all-star. It really would. But, you know, he could also use the extra rest.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. I see both sides of it. You know, it'd be great to see him honored as an all-star and put another all-star out there for the Angels. I know Ohtani's more than likely going to make it. And beyond that, I'm not too sure who else can possibly make it. Jared Walsh definitely should, I think, to in some capacity make it to the All-Star game. And I really hope that Ohtani is in the Home Run Derby as well. So, yeah, all in all, a great weekend. Let's kind of look forward to the Oakland series. I don't really have matchups. I think that we see Dylan Bundy and Frankie Montes tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And Griffin Canning and Andrew... Who is it?
Manaea.
I was thinking Montes for some reason.
He's the next...
Yeah, Montes will go the second game. I think it's against Andrew Heaney. Griffin Canning will go the third game. Nate, are you feeling optimistic about this series at all? I don't know. You know, the Angels tend to play well, but then they tend
don't
to
play well in Oakland. It feels like
yeah.
And the one thing like where I will slow the roll with the Angels is we have taken advantage of some very very bad pitching. You look at Kansas City series. We faced a guy who couldn't get out of the first inning, making his major league debut. You look at the starters we faced against Arizona, just not really quality arms, and the A's are going to throw two quality arms at us. The third guy, he's thrown really well this year. It's Cole Irvin, who I played against a lot.
SoCal guy.
Orange County guy. Mm-hmm. Went to Servite High School, played against him a lot. So that would be that's going to be a tough series for the Angels. It's going to be a real measuring stick to see how good these guys really are, because are they just beating up on bad pitching, or are they actually just really good right now? So I think this series is really, really important for the Angels to find out, are they pretenders or are they contenders?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, the Angels are red hot right now. Best case scenario, I think they take two or three, but, I mean, you just never know. You really don't. The Angels are hot right now. They could go and, I mean, if they take two or three and then you get four at home against Detroit, and then you get two against a very hot San Francisco team, which San Francisco is really good for some strange reason this year. Then you get Tampa and the Yankees in Tampa and in New York. And then you come home to Baltimore. It's a very favorable schedule, but it's like a 500 favorable schedule, if that makes sense. Like, Angels could go out and get swept by the Yankees, who have the same record as them right now. The Angels could go out and get swept by the Rays, which I think happened already earlier this season. And Baltimore comes to town, and you got to hope that you take advantage of a not very good Baltimore Orioles team. So, yeah, this week, it's a big week for the Angels. It really, really is. You don't have Trout. Trout's not back for at least three more weeks, maybe a month. We don't know that yet. We're going to get more information as it rolls out this week, because we're going to get a lot of information on Trout and how he's feeling and what the timeline is for everything. So, yeah, just big series. And last thing I want to talk about before we let everybody go, I know we already had the Sticky Stuff podcast and we talked about foreign substances, but I kind of want to go back to it a little bit, in a sense, and talk about Trevor Bauer. Because Trevor Bauer started, and Nate, I don't know if you saw these stats. I know you're going to have a field day with him. I don't have the stats pulled up, but I know the spin rate was down. I know the vertical break was down. I know the horizontal break was down. And Trevor Bauer got lit up. Do we think the MLB is, in a sense, making a push? Do we think there's a memo sent out? Something had to have happened where because there have been a couple players now that we've seen the spin rate go down randomly out of nowhere and they just get crushed. So I'm kind of interested to hear your take on all this.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer were the two most notable names, and they lost a lot of spin rate. Do you remember how much it was? Like,
it was in between 200 and 400 RPM on fastballs, I'm sure, at least that on off speed.
Yeah, I thought it was about 250 for those two, because I know those two numbers were really, really important. But the MLB had just come out with their illegal substance policy, and they told pitchers that within the next week or two, they are going to start checking every starter before the game, and they're going to check every reliever who comes in, and if they believe that a position player has some and is giving some to his pitcher, they are allowed to check the position player as well. The MLB has come out and said that suspensions are going to be very, very brutal. I would speculate in a 15 to 20 game suspension. That's kind of what it sounds like, and I know that sounds really, really, like, really? 15, 20 games? That's 3 or 4 starts for these guys? But yeah, I think MLB really wants to crack down on this and make sure that these guys aren't cheating, I guess, is the way that they're going about this. But the MLB did send something out because they wanted these guys to try and figure some things out before it becomes a problem, because they really don't want to have to suspend guys. But they said, it's just like steroids. We're going to put everything out, and, you know, if you get caught, you're going to get a big suspension. But we're giving you every opportunity to figure it out before we start popping, guys.
So kind of interesting that you mentioned steroids, and I think we'll kind of get back to the sticky stuff here in a second. But Gerrit Cole, probably a Hall of Famer, right? Getting pretty close. Trevor Bauer, probably not so much. But hypothetically, both those guys finish their career strong and look like they're going to be Hall of Famers. And those two guys notably are the most famous users of sticky stuff, spider tack, whatever they're using, the homemade creation. Do you vote for them?
Do I vote for
them? On a potential Hall of Fame ballot, would you vote for him?
Would I vote for Trevor Bauer? No, because I mean, he'll probably hear this and tell me that his WAR and all these numbers are Hall of Fame worthy. But I don't think his numbers are Hall of Fame worthy right now.
Hypothetically, if they were Hall of Fame worthy, do you? He ended up winning 300 games, striking out 4,000 batters, you know, whatever it is. But he ended up, you know, we know he uses sticky stuff. There's videos. I don't know if you saw the video that got posted of him during BP putting the sticky stuff in his glove. Same thing with Gerrit Cole, you know, a notable user. We now know this from that press conference that happened whenever it was, or the post game that happened whenever it was. Would you vote for these guys knowing that they are cheaters?
I mean, Phil Niekro's a Hall of Famer, and he used some stuff. I don't think he used I think he used sandpaper. I think that was his go-to thing. So, I mean, we've seen guys in the past who've used stuff, and whether it's sandpaper, whether it's whatever it is, sticky stuff, or however they're getting through this, I think it's very tough to pitch in the big leagues, and it's kind of one of those things where I don't see it as cheating since everyone's using it. I think that they have gone above and beyond where the line is. I think that the line has been crossed, but I think that there's got to be a happy medium where the MLB has got to help these guys out and make the ball less slippery, less slick. And so I definitely would vote for those two had they had Hall of Fame worthy careers.
Are you voting for any Astros?
That's a different thing. I think that's way, way, way across the line where, like, yeah, teams are doing not similar things, but they are trying to gain an advantage. I think that's just way too much for me, where it's not on an even playing field. I think if you were to take a poll of every pitcher in the MLB, there's probably about 80% of guys that are using some sort, and you'll probably tell me it's more than that. You think it's like 95, I think. But
I think it's 100%.
I don't think it's 100%, but I think 80% of them are using at least pine tar.
If high school guys are using it, if college guys are using it, if minor leaguers are using it, you have to imagine that almost every single major leaguer is using something.
like I said, 80% is pretty high number. You, whatever, it's a high number. It's a pretty even playing field. What the Astros did was not an even playing field. They're the only team in MLB that had a camera in center field looking at what the catcher was putting down to tell you what pitch was coming. I know there's been reports of other teams. I know there was a report that came out about a week ago or 2 weeks ago that the Dodgers and Rockies were using similar things.
The Rockies.
It was when the Rockies were in the playoffs, so it was a valid year. I think they knocked out the Cubs, and then they played the Brewers, or maybe they knocked out the Brewers and Cubs in like a wild card game or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think what the Astros did was way, way, way across the line, way uncalled for, and I would not vote for any Astros. But when it comes to the sticky stuff, like, I think everyone's using it, or most everyone's using it, and it's just kind of part of the game. And I think the MLB kind of put these pitchers at a disadvantage. Like, it feels like all the rules right now are going against pitchers, trying to make it easier for hitters and harder for pitchers, and it's getting to a point where it's like, what's the point of pitchers? Like, because everything is against pitchers. It's, let's move the mound back so they don't throw as hard. Let's take away their pickoff moves. Let's whatever. Let's take away the sticky stuff. Let's all these things. It feels like it's against the pitcher, and it's already hard enough to pitch in baseball. So I don't know. That's my two cents.
And I think to bring this like total full circle, and we talk about this all the time. Like, we've talked about this for the past year, and I think this comes down to Rob Manfred. I mean, at the end of the day, this is what all of this conversation comes down to. Whether it's, you know, the Astros, whether it's cheating, whether it's, I mean, heck, even steroids. Like, it comes down to Rob Manfred changing rules all the time. You know, and you know, trying to make baseball better in a sense. And he's, you know, not to, you know, start pointing the finger at Rob Manfred, but Nate, you and I, like I said, we talk about this all the time. You know, all these rule changes, what's going on in the minor leagues, what's going on, you know, we talk about rule changes whenever they happen. Right before the season, you and I think had a podcast about these rule changes and how we felt about them, and if anybody wants to go back and listen to it, you know, spoiler alert, we don't like them. We don't like very many of them, should we say, because it's ruining the game, and what's happening right now, this conversation that we're having, is ruining the game in a sense. Like, there's no reason why pitchers need to be docked. I mean, it's happened forever. I get it. You know, you're trying to get a bit of an advantage, but there's no reason to be putting sticky stuff that professional weightlifters use to hold onto the bar better onto a ball so that you can spin the ball a little bit more. Like, I get it. I get that is what needs to happen so that pitchers get an advantage, and exactly what you said. But if, you know, we weren't trying to change this game as much as it, you know, it's being changed, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be talking about players, you know, still doing their thing. We wouldn't be talking about Trevor Bauer doctoring up the baseball, or any Angels doctoring up the baseball, or Garrett Cole, or anybody like that. We wouldn't be. So I think at the end of the day, it comes down to Rob Manfred, and I'm going to air quote this because I don't know if he is or isn't, but ruining the game. You know, I know change needs to happen, and without getting political, I know that there's some things that, you know, need to happen, and I think we're both, in a sense, traditionalists, but I think that it's kind of going a little bit too far, and seeing, you know, these repercussions from it, and then trying to fix the mistakes that have happened are really getting into the game. Like, there's no reason for this to be happening mid-season at all. There's no reason. You know,
should have been handled either before the season or not at all.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that even before the season. Like, hey, man, this needs to get taken. It might not have been on the air. It might have been off the record, but I feel like I had a conversation with you about this, and, you know, this needs to be taken care of now. it really does, because it's going to get out of hand. So, and now we're at that point where it's, in air quotes, out of hand. And, you know, I think in the next 2 3 4 months, we're going to see the ramifications from it, and We're going to hear what Trevor Bauer has to say on his blog, and I don't watch it, but I know we'll all have all eyes on that because it's going to be a very interesting one. He speaks his mind, you know. Garrett Cole, same thing. You know, all eyes will be on him. Josh Donaldson, you know, Mike Trout's spoken out about it. So I think, you know, without saying it's not a good thing, you know, it's not a good thing. And it boils down to Rob Manfred. So, Nate, any final thoughts? You can, you know, kind of go off on what I had to say, or, you know, if you want to bring up anything else, you can too.
I just wanted to ask you, will it be a starter or reliever, first guy suspended for it?
It'll be a reliever because starters, they're just checking them before the game, right?
No, they said they can check pitchers up to 8 or 9 times a game. They're basically going to check every pitcher in inning.
So this is also where this, you know, we're trying to make the game quicker, right?
Yeah.
This is making the game quicker.
They don't know how, so according to what I've been reading, they don't know how, like, obvious it's going to be to people at the game or to people who are watching the game on TV. Like, are you going to notice that the umpire has checked them? Or is it just going to be something where the umpire is going to walk out there and, like, change baseballs in between innings and, you know, check his hat, check his glove, and say you're good to go? Like, they don't really know, but they're basically saying that the umpires can check as many times as they feel necessary.
Seems like a huge waste of time to me. And, you know, they should probably go out there with a thermometer and check the pitcher's temperature, too. I know.
You know, they do that before the game. Don't forget that.
bad joke. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, this is tough. This is really, really, really tough for me. And you know, all eyes are going to be on baseball for the next 2 weeks to a month. And I guess that's what Rob Manfred wants, you know, but I don't think it's good. This definitely isn't good. You know, it's going to make games longer, which Rob Manfred doesn't want. It's going to make pitchers very unhappy. You know, we have, don't forget this, the CBA expires after this year. What the hell is going to happen this offseason is beyond me. Like, we're going to have, it's going to be an interesting offseason. And there's a lot of free agents and a lot of money to be thrown around. And we don't know if there's going to be a season next year. You don't. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen with this CBA. It's going to be crazy. It really will be. So don't piss off anybody, please, Rob Manfred. I know you're not listening to this, but, man, like, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting month. That's all I have to say with this going on. So, guys, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can follow us on all of our social medias. Just look us up at Talking Halos. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review if you really like it. Really, really do. Shout out to the last person that gave us a review. I think she said we were really consistent, and then we went on like a 2-week break and became inconsistent. We apologize for that. I saw it like right as we were about to take a little bit of a break with everything going on. And I was like, well, that's not happening anymore. But guys, we're back, and tell a friend about us. You can follow myself at Jared_Timms on Twitter. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. Guys, thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your day.